keep it real simple, keep it real simple. Bring everything right back to ground zero, 'cause it all comes down to this. Love God and love people. We live in a world that keeps breaking, but if we wanna find a way to change it, it all comes down to this. Love God and love people.
Here's to the dreamers, the misfits, the people that don't fit in, the people who view things differently. They don't go the way that society flows. They are not afraid to make an impact, no matter how big or how small. You can quote them, look up to them, and maybe disagree with them. But about the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They aren't afraid to show love to their neighbors, even though they don't necessarily get any in return. Now, while some see them as crazy, we see change, because the ones that think they can make a difference do.
Come on, y'all. Come on, man. Give it a little love, man. Welcome, welcome. Thanks for watching this morning. Thanks for tuning in. I have to give a special shout out to our North Dallas team this morning. Come on, let them know that we're with them. Shreveport Bossier. Come on. Hey, here is the little beautiful logo that we have launched for them, and I'll just kind of remind all of you. Let's put it on the screen for them so that they can see it and they know that they are loved. So, Daniel, come on, hook them up. Hook me up. Can we get there? Right here. There it is right there. This is why I want you to know that the North Dallas team, man, we care about you, and we're excited about what's going over in North Dallas, because they are doing some awesome stuff. They're serving a lot of people, loving on people, but they're getting ready for a big party coming up. In just a couple of weeks, we're going to be having a huge crawfish bowl. So you got to love that, man. Taking some crawfish over to North Texas is going to be fun. But we got together in a home this past week just to talk about all the things going on in North Dallas. Here is a picture of that team as well, just so you can see them. It's pretty cool because there are a lot of people expressing interest in being a part of what's going on in Dallas area. And we got to go over there and hang out this week of spring break and walk through some of the planning and stuff. Even look at the theater that we're looking at launching in. So we're not there yet, but we're getting close. So if you're in North Texas, you're in that Dallas area, we want you to be a part of the volunteer teams and contact us. Let us know. It's going to be awesome when we get all that stuff in place. But come to that crawfish bowl, and we'll tell you a little bit more about that when we get going. All right. And this is the thing. You know, I grew up, of course, loving the Dallas Cowboys. Any haters out there? Let me hear you. Come on. All right, now the reason I love the Dallas Cowboys is my mom actually had a friend that she was very close to, Miss Doris Rouse. She still lives in the Dallas area. She may watch this morning. Good morning, Miss Doris. And we would go over every summer, and we would hang out with them, and there were things that you learned from the people in Dallas. One of the things is they had a phrase. It's like, well, didn't you see it? It was bigger than Dallas. Have you ever heard that phrase? Let me hear you say amen. Okay, that's like, it just meant that it was a large thing you couldn't miss. For example, Jerry Jones got the memo when he built this stadium. Now, just for y'all know, that's bigger than Dallas. Everything they do, you know, is bigger in Texas. Man, it doesn't matter if it's the stadium. It doesn't matter if it's the food that you eat. So as I was gathering with them as this North Dallas team, and we sat around, I said, hey, man, I'm looking for an illustration to prove that things are bigger in Dallas. And they said, oh, I got the perfect thing for you. And I said, what's that? And they said, the El Jefe. I said, what is the El Jefe? Well, let me go ahead and just show you. It is a 7-pound hamburger and 7,000 calories. Can I get an amen out there? Yes. Now, if you're wondering what these little documents are on either side, it's at a place called Kenny's, all right? And in the Kenny's joint, this is the thing. This is the liability that you have to sign off of when you eat this hamburger, all right? These are the warnings, but it's 7 pounds and 7,000 calories. Everything is bigger in Texas. And so if you're over in the Frisco area, go check out that restaurant. It's a great, great idea. Do not eat the hamburger, though. I'm going to tell you, dude. I don't want to be liable for getting you sick. But what's awesome is, as we were sitting around talking about that, they were going, man, people have done it. It's been on TV. Even the, I think it's Guy Fieri has a show. They go around Man Versus Food or one of those things where this was featured on that very show. So I started thinking, well, it's not just Texas when you start thinking about things being bigger. It's really an American way. And you go, well, what do you mean it's an American way? Well, typically we think bigger is better. That's just the way it is when it comes to the American thought. And I will prove it in North Louisiana as well when I tell you, when you think about trucks, Bigger is better. Can I get an amen, rednecks out there? Come on. Now, if you don't believe me, all right, this is just the American thing, so it's everywhere. But this is, I ran across this article. Look at this right here. Why Americans buy bigger cars than the rest of the world. I have a friend from Nigeria here. Come on, give him a little love this morning from all the way from Nigeria. Thanks for joining us this morning, my friend. So listen, in Africa, I can tell you, they're not worried about buying this big old truck, all right? They're just trying to go, man, I just want something that runs and that can get me from A to B. And trust me, I have been there. I feel you. You get to America and it's a little excessive. You're like, everybody's got to have something bigger. Now, if you don't believe that that's, you go, that ain't a big truck. Well, I ran across this one. I think this is a better illustration. Can I get an amen now, right? Bigger, better, man. Rah, 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 rah. That's the way it is. So our cars, our trucks, that's one thing. Bigger is better. But then it's also our homes. We have huge square footage. Huge square footage. Here's an image so you can kind of have an idea why American houses keep getting bigger and bigger. This is the American way. I mean, you can have two people and you'll still have 5,000 square feet. It's like, get my house as big as I can possibly afford. And I've been driving around and I see it. Me and my wife have a beautiful big house. And so you think, well, you got three kids and four dogs. You need the square footage. One more amen on that, all right? But it's the idea. It doesn't matter if you have a big family or not. Many people just get big houses. Well, it's cars, it's trucks, it's houses, but then it is also churches. This is the thing that probably blows most people's minds. This is a church in Texas, probably seen something like that. They have quite a few over there in Texas, whether it's Fellowship in Dallas or First Baptist Dallas or Houston, Joel Osteen, man. This is the way it is churches are bigger and bigger and bigger. They even came up with a word for it. Are you ready for this? Mega churches. Not just big, but now mega. Is there anything bigger than the word mega? I don't know, but this is it. Texas has a lot of mega churches, and Louisiana has a few. Now, what I'm about to tell you might surprise you. If you've been to Texas, everything's bigger in Texas. Okay, we get that. But in Louisiana, do we really have mega churches? Well, this is so surprising that years ago, when the Simple Church launched, there's a magazine called Outreach Magazine. And they contacted us, and this is about 2008. And they said, we just want to congratulate you. You have made it into Outreach Magazine. I said, what? And they said, well, it's 100 fastest growing churches in America. And you are officially now a mega church. And I was like, we're Simple Church is a mega church? So look, you can look at this next little article, because when you looked inside, the newest mega church, and you go on down, and right there, 2007, the Simple Church, Bossier City, Louisiana. Come on, yay! Now, why would I be clapping for that? Well, number one, we were surprised, and we were not expecting that. And it is kind of funny. We're kind of like, yay, I think. We don't really know how to, you know, deal with that. But when a magazine calls you and says, hey, you're in the magazine, and here is the article, and congratulations, you're like, wow, it's kind of crazy. So in the midst of now a pandemic, in the midst of everything going on, I'm going, are we still a mega church? You know, there's a couple of hundred people here. Come on, give it up for the couple of hundred here, right? Thousands watching. Good morning. Glad that y'all are with us. All right. So I put it in there. The Simple Church was or slash is a mega church. That may be shocking to some people. It's still shocking to me, because when we launched with 80 people, I never thought in my wildest imagination that there would be thousands of thousands that would come. But as you've seen through the images and the pictures and through the years, that has been the case. And many people still label us a mega church, including people outside of our world. One of the most shocking moments in the Simple Church history is when the Wall Street Journal called us and said, we'd love to do an article on the mega church down in Bossier City. I said, do what? Well, here's the image so you can kind of see it. Learning from the good book. This is the Wall Street Journal. And look at that famous pose right there. Look at that handsome pastor there holding his Bible, you know. Well, this is what's so funny about that. I was like, what are y'all doing the story on? And they were like, well, you're out of the box. You're doing things different. Ironically, here we are in 2021, still talking about doing things different. And the world recognized that. They were saying, hey, you know what? You are doing things different. And as a result, it's reaching a lot of people, and you're doing a lot of good, and we're recognizing that. And so over the years, as I did a little inventory, we have seen some big stuff happen, no doubt. A couple of images for you as we scroll through these. Big crowds. Come on. We know that this looks like. We have seen big baptisms. Huge. Bigger is better, right? Remember, they're lining up. 400 baptized in one day. We have had big stars even come to Simple Church. Man, you look at here, you got Justin Flom and Drew Brees and Bethany Hamilton, James Burden, Sonny from POD, all of these. That's just a list of few. And it has been cool. There is no doubt. When I look back, I'm like, wow, look at what God has done. I mean, a mega church, a lot of people, a lot of baptisms. This is pretty incredible. But I don't want you to miss what I'm about to say. Because this is really a message for my North Dallas people. This is a message back for the Simple Church today in our world that we're living in right now. So looking into Scripture, as I was walking through this message, I see Luke 13. And it catches my attention because it is Jesus asking this question. What is God's kingdom like? I mean, what can I compare it to? So if you're thinking right now, it's got to be huge. God's kingdom, we're talking about Nigeria, we're talking Rwanda, we're talking Honduras and Haiti and America. This is going to be a huge kingdom, right? No, when you look at the next verse, this is what really is surprising. God's kingdom is like the seed of the mustard plant. So you go, well, what do you mean it's like the seed of a mustard plant? Now, if you're not a farmer, you have no idea what we're talking about. But for all of those that don't farm, let me put an image on the screen. How big is a mustard seed? Do you see that little tiny dot? We'll go big screen so all of those watching online can see it. You ready? Look how small that is. That's a dime and a penny. A mustard seed is teensy weensy. And so Jesus says, how do I describe the kingdom of God? I'll tell you how I describe it. It's like a mustard seed. Now, to me, that's surprising because you would think he would say, man, it's going to be huge. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be just expansive and mega. But he actually challenges them, saying, no, it starts very, very small. Luke 13, 19 continues when it says this. Someone plants this seed. That seed grows and becomes a tree, and the birds build nest on its branches. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a mustard tree, but I pulled a picture for you so you can have an idea. This is what that little seed grows into. Now, the reason this is so important is because, yes, they do start small. This seed is so little. It was a little group of people. I was with North Dallas. It's a small group of people gathering going, God, if this is what you want us to do, I don't know. I can relate because in 2007, it was a small group of people getting together and go, okay, God, what do you want to do? But the one thing I want you to see and remember is this, is that when God is in it and you're talking about his kingdom and you're focused on growing his kingdom, it grows and it expands to meet needs. This is why it is so important to understand this illustration that Jesus was talking about. It wasn't just growing big to grow. It wasn't just going, man, we're going to be big for the sake of being big. No, the reason that it gets bigger and bigger is because it meets more and more needs. Just like it used the illustration of saying the birds now have a place to land. It's meeting a need. So for the Simple Church or for the kingdom of God to grow and continue to have an impact, it's about meeting needs, whether that is in Africa or right here in our own community. It is not about growing big just to say, we're a mega church, we're in this magazine, or we've seen these people come, or we're able to have this big event. All of that means nothing if we're not meeting needs, if we're not growing with the purpose of making God's kingdom a need-meeting group of people to do things bigger than anyone's ever thought was possible. Now, Jesus continues when he actually gives another illustration. He says again, Jesus said, hey, what can I compare God's kingdom with? He's asking a question again. So everybody's like, well, you said a mustard seed. I don't know, Jesus, throw us a bone. What can you compare it to? He said, it is like the yeast that a woman mixes in a large bowl of flour to make bread. That yeast makes all of the dough rise. Once again, a small amount of yeast can have a huge impact. It brings things up. It should bring our culture up. It should bring our lives up. It should meet needs. And this is the challenge. Are we just meeting just to go, well, what's in it for me? And man, I hope this is going to be a good Sunday. Or are we coming in and going, man, I want to be a part of God's kingdom. Meeting needs at a huge scale. Not for my own good, but for theirs. And man, rising people up, bringing people up, rising up from the ashes, even through coming out of a pandemic, how can we bring people to the next level and meet needs? Just as that bread feeds, that we would be the same thing, meeting needs and feeding people. So when I look back at our story in the Simple Church and looking over all the years, people always kind of go back to the first logo and they start thinking about, like, where did you get this logo idea from? And this is the thing. I want you to put the image on the screen for them just so you can kind of understand, because many times this is overlooked. This logo right here was all about a small impact continuing to echo out. So the idea was, is just when it hits, let's play it again, Kat, just hit it again. When it hits right here in the center, then it begins to expand out. So when you see the logo, whether it's on the kids' shirts or whether it's on the logo on your t-shirt or maybe even a letterhead, a letter, whatever it may be, or your app, you would understand that it is about, man, small beginnings can continue to have a huge impact. And this is where I want to speak directly to you, thinking about the logo, thinking about God's kingdom, thinking about my friends in North Dallas, thinking about people in Shreveport-Bossier right now, because this mega church has now gone down to, what, a couple of hundred people in this room? And now maybe we're going to have a couple of thousand at Easter. Who knows what that'll look like when we used to have 10,000 people? And some people are going, oh my gosh, it may never be the same. It just seems like it's not the same. Let me tell you something. God is the same. And his challenge might just be for me and you to go, wait a second, let's start with you. Let's not start with all of these thousands. Let's make it personal today. And here is the reminder. God uses small stuff to make a huge impact. That means even you, little kids, all the way to adults who think, man, what can I bring? I don't have a whole lot. There's not a lot that I can do. He's like, no, man, small things can make big impact if you let God use them. In Zechariah, you'll see this right here. This is the great reminder. Do not despise the small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. That is for you, North Dallas. For all of us in this area, that is for us. It's going, hey, listen, it may seem small again, but let me tell you something. Don't get discouraged, because look at what happened on the first run. But it started when people said, man, I want to be a part of what God's doing. I want to be a part of God's kingdom. I want to see something that I've never seen before. And how are we going to do it? By meeting needs. So don't despise the small beginnings, man. We, again, have an opportunity to change the world. Matthew 14, the followers answered, but we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, God. What can I do with this? A little boy brings in his lunch, and guess what happens? The small little lunch feeds 5,000 people and has baskets and baskets of leftover. Why? Because they came in and said, here's what I got, God. Hey, just use it. So when we're asking you to volunteer, we're asking you to get involved, we're asking you to come back, hey, listen, don't despise small beginnings. Just bring what you got, and let's see what God does. Luke 16 continues, it says this, if you're faithful in the little things, you're going to be faithful in the large ones. So why in the world would God continue to bless us with large when you can't be faithful in the little? So you want to know why it matters to be important in the way that we portray ourselves, whether it's by wearing masks or putting other people first or by serving the community or by meeting a need? Is because we're saying it's not about us. And so in a small, simple way, man, I'm going to bring what I can and let God use it. Because if we're faithful in the small, God can do amazing things, big things. But here's the question. Are you really ready to do that? I mean, you may be thinking, well, Justin, can you give me an illustration of a small thing making a big impact? I'm glad you asked, because I can. Right here in the children's ministry. Right here in this whole idea of SK Kids in Christier launching something that's very small that begins to have a lasting impact. What are you talking about, Justin? FX in a box is what I'm talking about. Think about this. It may not be that big of a deal right now, but can you imagine if we change the way parents and kids interact when it comes to a spiritual thing? That they'll begin to discipline themselves just to say, hey, man, let's have some fun and pull this box out and spend time together, parents and kids, not dropping them off at church, not sending them somewhere to a children's ministry, but you get to actually invest in the life of your kid. And you may go, well, how big a deal is this? Can it really make a difference? Well, I'm going to let you see a video from a friend of mine. She grew up in student ministry with me. Her name is Minda. And let me tell you something. When Minda tells you what's going on with her kid, when she made it a priority to have that small little meeting, that small little time with the small little box, it began to change not just her life, but her family's life as well. Take it away, Minda.
I'm Minda Davis, and this is Ross Davis. We have been doing the FX box now since they came out. It has been a huge part of our lives and something that we've enjoyed as a family. Being out of church for a year was difficult, and we didn't know exactly how to navigate that. You know, what do you do with your four-year-old who's all of a sudden out of his routine of going to church? And then when the FX box came, it was perfect. It was something that we could do with our family. We even included our 15-year-old in it sometimes, but doing the activities, still being able to pour that into him, and then doing the do-good projects and teaching him what it means to, you know, do for others and love others and be the hands and feet, that was something that has just meant so much. We are so thankful that Christy and her team came, you know, thought of something that we could do in home, because it is hard as a parent to come up with that kind of stuff and to know when you're doing, you know, the absolute best for your kid. And this has been just an amazing thing to have. I really knew that it connected with him with the FX box when we were praying one night, and I asked him, what was your favorite part of the day? And he said, doing my FX box. And I thought, oh my God, he gets this. He gets that, you know, the lessons and the do-good projects and all that means something to him. And so I immediately text Christy. I was like, and Mallory, and I'm like, he gets it, he gets it. And I just kept thanking Christy for everything she had done, because it was something that I know so much time and energy goes into, and I wanted them to know it's working and it's helping and we love it. I hope we continue to do it even once we're back in church. So it's been really great for our family.
Come on, man, give it up, Minda. Good job, Minda. And great job, Christy and her team, because something very small that many of you may not even be doing yet, man, I'm telling you, sign up, get the box. Why? Because if you're a grandparent, if you're a parent, it's a moment that may seem small at the time, but that can grow and have lasting effects. Listen, it's different. It's a different way to do children's ministry. We know, but this is the deal. There are benefits to doing the box. We go, what do you mean? Well, number one, it's a plan. Does your family need a plan? Do you go, man, when things are going crazy and everybody's going nuts and we're going to different directions, and how do we sit down and have a time that we can connect as a family and have a spiritual connection? It is a plan to do that. It also helps you talk about spiritual stuff. So, man, when you go, man, I don't know how to really do that well. She's done it for you. It's put into a box for you. And guess what? It creates a culture in your home that maybe, just maybe, you desperately need coming out of a pandemic. Don't miss it, man. It's a plan, man. It creates the culture. It gives you a way to talk to your kid. It gives you a way to parent differently. Because guess what? The Simple Church is different. Whether it's an FX box, or whether it's coming to church at a big arena, or whether it's doing things in the community and helping people around the world, we know that things are different. And we are going to do our very best to lead you to be different in your home and in this community. We're not experts, let me tell you this, but our desire is simply to help you be the very best that you can be. Ephesians 6:4 says it like this: parents, don't be hard on your kids. Raise them properly. Teach them and instruct them about the Lord. Please notice, this is not talking about a children's pastor. We have a great one. We're not talking about student pastors. We have great ones. This is talking about parents having small interactions, teaching and training your kids. And I'm going to be honest with you, I've been hard on my kids way too many times. I get that part right, and God's like, man, go easy on being hard. Why don't you have some moments where you can connect spiritually with your kids? Well, it's just a box, Justin. It's so small. Does it matter? I mean, come on, does it really matter? Yeah, here's another verse for you. If you give even a cup of cold water to a little child, you will surely be rewarded. What is he saying there? The smallest things done in love will always be remembered and rewarded. Mother Teresa taught us the same thing. Not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. This is the challenge. Be different. Start small. This is the challenge for you. Listen to what Mother Teresa's saying. Listen to what the scripture's saying. Look at what Jesus was saying. Small things done now can have a lasting impact. I don't know if you know this or not, but the word ministry comes from a Latin word called minuscule. That's exactly right. It means it's not always big, grandiose things. It's not always these massive things that are happening. Many times it's these small interaction. And lasting change always starts with the small things you do. Listen, you want to change your life, you want to change your marriage, you want to change your family, you want to change anything in your life, you want to change church. Many times it starts with the smallest things that have that impact. Now, we're launching two new things, starting up two small things, and this is just so you can kind of have an idea of what it looks like in the future. So starting on April 11th, when we come back, to have in church at the Shreveport Convention Center. We're launching small groups for kids. Once again, it's a small thing, but 11 o'clock, you can have your kids back in church. And we've done productions, and we do FX Live and all those big productions, and those are awesome. But we are now going to make sure that your kids can have a small group experience as well with another adult that loves them and encourages them. But let me make sure you know this. Parents are still the number one influence. So you got to get them up and get them to church. You're the one that has to get up and get them into the FX Live. You're the one that has to lead them to do the box. Don't miss those small little things that can have a lasting impact. And then also to all the adults in here, we're starting something brand new as well. We took a note from Christy's box idea, and we're launching Life Group in a Box. That's exactly right. Another small thing that can make a big difference starting the same time on April 11th. They'll be available in the lobby. Life Group in a Box. This is the challenge. Now, let me give you your last little thing as we get ready to wrap up. You ready? Take out a sheet of paper, put a mental note down. Remember this. People remember the small things you do. People remember the small. You may not think it makes a big deal that you came to church today or that you made the phone call or that you wrote a note to someone or said hello, but the small things over time have a lasting impact. And I'm going to prove it with this next story. And guess who's going to bring it to us? Steve Hartman. Watch this.
Every week, Andy Gullihorn goes for a walk. And every week, about a mile and a half away, his friend Gabe Scott does the same thing at the same time. They walk toward each other, and when they meet, it's the weirdest thing. You see that? Clap, snap, high five. Then, often, they simply walk home. The whole exercise, their way of saying hi.
You realize people have telephones, and you can just call your buddy.
You're right, we should have been doing that this whole time.
Yeah.
And pick up the phone is great, but I've got a friend who literally will walk through the rain and the snow just to give me a high five. And I wish everybody could feel that feeling.
Andy and Gabe are musicians in Nashville. They met at a concert in 2000 and became friends. They got together on occasion, but not as often as they would have liked. So they invented this bit of silliness 7 years ago as a way of guaranteeing they see each other at least once a week.
So this is the high five journal.
Andy has a log of every encounter, including the one that was nearly their last.
It was high five number 312.
Gabe was hospitalized with a severe form of encephalitis. It caused his brain to swell and robbed him of his past.
I pretty much forgot my life.
Your whole life?
Yeah.
And that's when his buddy Andy, now a virtual stranger, came to visit.
I said, well, Gabe, this is gonna sound really weird, but I need you to do something for me. Give me a high five. And he was like, okay.
When the moment happened, my body just did what it's been doing for years. Clap, snap, high five.
That was in September. Since then, a lot of his memories have returned, but few more cherished than this silly tradition, which doesn't seem quite so silly anymore.
It's really special to have a memory of something. To have something that's this consistent in my life, that means this much.
Andy even wrote a song about their ritual.
So take a walk with me on Monday morning.
It's a reminder that going out of your way for someone is still the straightest path to an everlasting friendship.
Knowing the small things matter, it's really no small thing.
Y'all. Hey, listen, usually that's my wrap up. Usually I'm like right there and let's pray, but I want to do one other thing today. It's going to take you another couple of minutes, and it's a small thing. But I want you to hear the song that he wrote. And the reason I want you to hear the song is because you're busy. You got a lot of things you got to do. We're fixing to go to a meeting with kids and trying to get ready for Easter, and it's big things. You got big things to do today, big things coming around the corner. But let's don't rush through it. Let's be in this moment, a small, simple moment to listen to the words of the song, to remind you of the value that small matters. Jesus taught us that, and this song is a great reminder. Lord, use this song to encourage somebody today. Speak to them in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen.
Thank you.
is filling up with shiny things. And the pressure of keeping up our rising, they'll tell you something's missing and try to sell you more. Going bigger, faster, it's not always what you need. Knowing small things matter is really no small thing. Sometimes my economy is upside down. I lose track of the things I care about. When I start chasing power, I wind up getting caught. 'Cause I could climb the ladder, get further from my dreams. Knowing small things matter, really no small thing. So take a walk with me on Monday morning, through the same old small streets of our neighborhood. Oh, it's no marathon that ends in glory, but it's good, it's good, oh. So pay close attention to the ones who've been living with a long obedience in the same direction. They'll tell you without speaking of the beauty in this world. If beauty's what you're after, it's here in spades to see. Knowing small things matter changes everything. If beauty's what you're after, just look close to see. Knowing small things matter, it's really no small thing.
Thank you very much.
Hey, man, let's pray together. God, I just come to you, and I pray that the song touched somebody's life today just to remind them that maybe the phone call they're making or the activity they're doing with their child or with a friend, it matters. Because we know that in your life, when we saw the way that you carried out your ministry, it was in those small details, God, that had the lasting effect. Help us to be the same way. Help us not to worry about the size or, man, it's going to be bigger or we need more, but help us to remember the small interactions. If it's one ice cream sandwich to a child, if it is one hug as someone comes in that needs it, and you can tell in their face, God, this is the day they need to be encouraged. God, if it's a phone call, if it's a note, if it's taking time to pray with someone, God, give us the wisdom to know what we should do and when we should do it. God, I think about Tiffany and Phyllis and the loss of a loved one in their life this past week and how difficult that time would be. But I pray, God, they would know that we're thinking about them, that we're praying for them. That, God, as they walk through that loss, that we have them in our hearts. God, as I think about Lacey and her family down in Houston going through a difficult, challenging time, God, that the small text or the small phone call, the small prayer would just be a reminder that they matter to you. To Steve and Charlotte Gomez, as we think back and just saying, hey, God, thank you for them being in our life from the years gone past all the way till today, God, that they would know they're being thought about and prayed for. There's so many. But I pray today, God, that you would give us that heart to look for the small, to be in the small, to make it count. As we go into this meeting, God, as we get ready to prepare for Easter and we got all these things going on, help us, God, to be very conscious of the small. Thank you, God, for blessing us. Thank you, God, for taking care of us. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I get an amen somewhere? Amen. Here's what's going to happen, just so you know. Right now, in this room, we're about to change, and we're about to go into a meeting for volunteers for SK Kids and all that stuff. And this is the challenge. If you want to be a part of that, if you think, man, can I really make a difference? A small little bit of sacrificing, a small volunteer opportunity can change not only your life, but a kid's life as well. So we'd love to have you be a part of that. Also, if you're online, just remember, man, we got a lot of stuff coming up. So we'd love for you to be a part of us when we come back on Easter and the following weeks. But we got to know you're coming. So get a ticket. Invite someone. One simple, small invitation might just change somebody's life. So do what you got to do, man, to make sure that we don't miss this opportunity. We love you. Thanks again for watching. I will see you in just a little bit. Until then, what do we say?
Peace.
Thanks for coming, y'all.